This is Deanna, and our guest this last hour is Daniel Miller, and he is associated with the Texas Nationalist Movement, and which is something that I had never heard of until a very good friend, longtime friend. I've known her for, well, since I was writing for News with Views back in 2005 is when I started. And anyway, she told me about this movement down there. Now, I've been accused of being a white nationalist, which I am not. I am a nationalist, though. So I was very interested in finding out about the Texas Nationalist Movement. And that website is thetnm.org. And I hope that you will visit that website. And we will have him on momentarily, hopefully. And because he's got a lot of interesting things to say about it. And wouldn't it be wonderful if Texas could actually get this thing done? I think everybody in the country, or not everybody, but certainly a lot of people would have great desire to move to Texas because people are really getting tired of what's going on in their state. For instance, in my state, Illinois, the pension scandal, I mean, there's the budget. Budgets aren't being met. People are being laid off. Necessary services are being discontinued. Humanitarian services are being discontinued. And it's mainly because of budgets. And it's also because of the Democrats. Madigan has been in charge of the state of Illinois for decades. And he doesn't want to work with the governor, who is definitely wants to clean up the budget crises. Excuse me. And it just isn't happening. So, anyway, do we have our guest? Okay, Daniel, welcome.
Hi there.
Sorry?
I said we made it.
Good. Well, tell us about what's going on in Texas. And when did you start this movement? Tell us all about it. We need to know what's going on.
Wow. Well, the Texas Nationalist Movement has been around for well over a decade now. And what we are fighting for is fighting for the right of self-determination for the people of Texas to establish Texas as an independent nation.
That sounds wonderful. I mean, that Texans have always had this kind of personality characteristics where they're kind of individualist. Would you agree with that?
Right. You know, it's interesting. It's when we do these interviews, typically with international media, they are the ones that I think seem to get it. If I can put it that way, because in their minds, sort of from the outside of the United States looking in, they have always sort of thought of Texas as something different, very much like Texans feel about Texas. But there's absolutely no doubt about it. I mean, Texans have always had a very independent streak. The fact of the matter is you see it even with our state comptroller. When they publish numbers, they always do these comparisons between Texas and countries around the world. You know what our global rankings would be if Texas were an independent nation. So there's always that sense sort of lurking in the background and has been for generations. But over the last decade, through our work and obviously through circumstance, this idea that Texas should at least be able to govern itself and go that route and become a nation among nations has become more and more popular and moving to the front of everyone's minds.
Wow. Now, did the Bush governorship lend this idea that Texas should be independent, not tied to Big Pharma?
Well, you know, you can go back to the Bush administration here when he was governor, and I don't know that Bush did a whole lot to sort of foster that independent spirit. Even back when the state was like, you know, most other states around the South was firmly in Democratic control. The fact of the matter is that there has always been sort of this transpartisan feeling, whether it's Democrat or Republican, that Texas would probably be better off as an independent nation. I mean, you have to look at it. If you want to take it from that standpoint and look at it from a cultural aspect, you know, it's fostered through our children because it's actually a graduation requirement from public schools here in Texas that you take a minimum of 1 year of Texas history education. Our school children start every morning off with the Texas Pledge. There are, you know, you see high school bands playing Texas Our Texas. You know, we celebrate our own Texas Independence Day and San Jacinto Day on April the 21st. So there's always this, I mean, even if you get down to the slogan from the Texas Tourism Bureau, Texas, it's a whole nother country, or it's like a whole, you know, there are all these cultural clues that sort of indicate that this is who Texans are. We've been biding our time, I think, is where we could settle on that one.
Wow. So what is the Texas Pledge that the children recite?
Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to the Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible.
Wow.
It's not a pledge to a flag. You know, it's essentially an opportunity to honor Texas in the similar. I mean, you got to face it. You know, the Pledge of Allegiance to the United States flag has been going on in schoolrooms ever since Francis Bellamy threw it out there and people laughed it up. And so Texans said, you know what? We're not just going to let that fly. We're going to have our pledge, and it's going to be correct, and it's going to be about Texas. But, you know, it's up until, and I'll even tell you, up until the 1960s and 70s, it was not uncommon for school children to start the day off singing Texas Our Texas, which is our state song. So, you know, this, again, you know, not to belabor the point, but there is this cultural undercurrent of this, you know, separate identity where Texas is concerned.
Well, that is really unique. I mean, I don't know. I mean, I certainly don't have any fondness for, I don't have the same kind of fondness for Illinois that you obviously have for Texas, or that Texans have for Texas. But I know a lot of people who live in Texas, and I think of it as kind of a unique place. I've been there several times.
Well, and that's great. I would recommend probably even, you know, plotting your move before independence, because I can suspect that our visa requirements are going to be pretty stiff.
Yes. Now, how many people do you really have that are backing this? How many Texans know about this? Are you well represented among the population? Are people behind this? Do they know about what it involves? And what does it involve?
Well, at this point in the game, anyone who doesn't know about it, or specifically about our organization, just isn't paying attention. You know, we're right over 274,000 vote pledges now, people that have pledged to vote for Texas independence and have volunteered. You know, we're hovering right around 4,000 volunteers. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that we're a statewide organization. When you look at indicators like social media, for example, our Facebook page has more fans than the Republican Party of Texas and the Democratic Party of Texas combined. You know, by the criteria that is used to measure these things, aside from the major political parties here in Texas, we are the largest political organization in Texas by amount of support. So, you know, the fact of the matter is that we have been around for a decade. This is not, as some in the media have portrayed it, this thing that has cropped up since, you know, the Brexit vote. We've been working this issue diligently for well over a decade. And frankly, you know, we're you know, I would think mostly responsible for the growth of support in this. Now, I'm not going to say that our organization can take full credit for it, because let's be honest, the three people or the three groups of people that vie for Recruiter of the Year in our organization every year are the U.S. President, the U.S. Congress, and the United States Supreme Court. They do a tremendous amount to drive supporters our way. But the fact of the matter is by being active, by being organized, by being engaged with, you know, people within the state government, with voters all over Texas from one end to the other, we have grown to become a juggernaut.
Right. Now, was there any particular event or circumstance that led you and your group to even think about this, about being a separate country?
Well, I mean, you have to go back. You know, everyone, we talk about this, is that everyone has their personal journey to get to this point. I can tell you that my personal journey, let's just look at it. This coming month, August 24th, will be my 20th anniversary for making the decision to work for Texas independence. And, you know, that's many years ahead of the Texas Nationalist Movement. And of course, the Texas Nationalist Movement came about as, sort of a coalition of, I guess you would say, independence-minded organizations. You know, you go prior to the Texas Nationalist Movement, and the groups that were out there were highly fragmented. There were a lot of very small groups. And so what happened was, prior to the foundation of the Texas Nationalist Movement, there was an attempt to bring those organizations together, to unite under a single banner, and to pursue and basically change tactics and pursue this through a peaceful legislative political process. Because at the end of the day, the issue of Texas independence has always been a political question. Article 1, Section 2 of the Texas Constitution says that all political power is inherent in the people. So the fact that those words have existed in some shape, form, or fashion in every Texas Constitution since we were an independent republic in 1836 tells you that the real decision for the political future of Texas lies in the hands of the people. So once that decision was made, you know, after many, many years of dealing with the fragmentation in the groups, the Texas Nationalist Movement was formed, and we hit the ground running.
Wow. Well, that is really very interesting. And of course, you've talked about the failed federal policy. Do you anticipate that the federal government would attempt to stop this movement in Texas?
Well, you know, we've got examples to look at, recent examples. You know, the opposition is very fond of living in the 19th century and bringing up the Civil War, but they are really quick to ignore the fact that at the beginning of at the end of World War II, there were 54 recognized countries, and at the end of the 20th century, there were 192. You know, the fact of the matter is that this drive towards self-determination, toward autonomy and self-government is a global trend. So, you know, the fact is that when we are engaging in this expression of self-government to become an independent nation again, what we are doing is we are going down what is essentially a well-worn path to a certain extent, in the sense that we've got many examples to go on. And so what we find is, and especially in recent times, the fact of the matter is that these movements like ours, that are, you know, working for their independence within sort of a Western civilization context, have been, vast majority have been very peaceful. So what you have is the question is, will they try to stop us? And the answer is absolutely. And what they will do is they will propagandize it. If you go back to 2014, during the Scottish referendum, where the Scots were voting to leave the UK, and you look right at the Brexit referendum, what you see are the tactics that the federal government will use, which is Project Fear. They're going to want to defeat this at the ballot box. They want to stop us from having a vote, but they can't do it without losing face. and within the context of their own law. So we'll have the referendum, and what they'll try to do is they'll try to win the referendum by scaring people that Texas can't make it, we can't be self-governing, no one will trade with us. You know, the things that the Project Fear campaigns drug out in the Scottish referendum and the Brexit vote. So, you know, look, we're ready. The fact of the matter is that if we did not believe we could win a referendum and make the case for Texas independence, we wouldn't be calling for one.
Exactly. Now, your state does have a lot of natural resources. You have good, the climate is great. So you could be a trading partner with other countries if you became a country.
Well, let's face it. You know, there are 200 nations around the world, and they all seem to get along just fine, you know, from the very largest to the very smallest, the most wealthy to the least wealthy. They all seem to get along with the right of self-government just fine. And so when we look at it and we hear these, you know, these barbs from the Project Fear guys, you know, what we say is, look, I mean, we have the ninth largest economy in the world. You know, we're one of the world's major exporters. We're one of the world's major refiners of petroleum. We have got agriculture. We have got technology. We have got everything any nation around the world would love to have. So if we can't make it, who in the world can?
Right. Wow. Now, of course, the federal government benefits from all these things that you're doing, and so they would lose all the benefits.
Well, look, you know, we ran the economic data with Texas numbers taken out of it, and the United States is not going to, you know, they're not going to put out a bankruptcy sign because Texas leaves. They may put out a bankruptcy sign for a lot of other reasons, but Texas leaving them will not be the sole reason. You know, I'm sure their debt and their horrible monetary policy will have something to do with that. But that being said, you know, they're going to want to put up a fight. Texas is a cash cow. You know, we're a donor state into the union. We overpay into the union to the tune of about $150 billion every single solitary year. And, you know, when you put it in terms like that to Texans and go, look, you know, you're not getting your border taken care of. You've got a shoddy immigration system. We have a crumbling infrastructure. We're having to scrimp money from everywhere we can get it here in Texas and tax on the local and state levels to make up for, you know, the difference so that we can take care of the things we want to take care of here. And by the way, you're paying $900 million a day to have to do that, you know, for all of these things that the federal government does not give you or does to you. How do you feel about that? And Texans, by and large, are sick and tired of it.
Sure. Now, have you had a lot of production go offshore, as in other states? Or, I mean, you have a lot of it right there with your oil refinery and cattle and that kind of thing. But have you had production manufacturing companies that have had to go offshore because of, say, Medicare costs or Medicaid costs?
Well, there's no doubt about it. You know, Obamacare has been crippling to every business everywhere, regardless of what it is that they do. But even, you know, 2 years ago, Texas was still a net global exporter. We were ranked, I think it was 22nd or 23rd out of all the nations in the world. And our manufactured export, just to tell you how strong manufacturing is here in Texas, our manufactured exports are about 90 to 95% of that, somewhere in that ballpark. So, you know, you've got, there's a reason that Fortune 500 companies are moving here in droves to Texas. There's a reason that technology companies are firing up all up and down through Texas. And frankly, we've heard from some businesses that have relocated here that they are moving here, anticipating that Texas will leave the union.
Oh, wonderful.
Well,
now,
makes plenty of sense.
Wow, that is tremendous. Now, when you leave, we're going to say when you leave, then your citizens will get to escape Obamacare. And then we're going to break just momentarily. But when we come back, talk about that. And we'd also like to talk about the immigration situation and how Texas would handle that. So we will be right back in 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with Streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AROutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AROutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AROutfitting.com.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from TakeFromCaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at TakeFromCaesar.us.
For the most amazing, calming, brain-stabilizing, blood sugar, and natural addiction-breaking formula, try CalMind. Anxiety melts, panic is gone, sleep is restful, and you'll stay calm during stress. Better than booze, mind-altering drugs, or anti-anxiety, antidepressant, toxic medications, CalMind lubricates your mind so you'll sail through the day effortlessly. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Nutridyne at 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com and listen to the NutriMedical Report on GCN with open lines every weekday. NutriMedical, bringing nutrition and medicine together.
You, your husband, your wife, your children, we all need food. And with dozens of food storage companies buying up airtime all over radio, it's hard for you to know which company you can actually trust. Hey folks, John Stettmiller here. We at RBN understand, which is why I personally searched out a storable food company and one with similar core values to us here at RBN and of course you, the listener. Well, I found such a company. I'd like to introduce you to Numana Food Storage. Numana Food Storage, highly nutritious, GMO-free, contains no aspartame, no high fructose corn syrup, has no chemical preservatives or soy, and Numana Food Storage has a 25-year shelf life. To back up my claims, we've made Numana Food Storage the exclusive food sponsor of RBN. Call 888-597-0775, 888-597-0775. Order online at NumanaRepublic.com. That's NumanaRepublic.com. Food storage you'll love to eat.
Welcome back. This is Deanna, and our guest this last hour is Daniel Miller, and he is with the Texas Nationalist Movement, and their website is the TNM.org. The TNM.org. Hope you will visit there. Okay, so what would you do about, Obamacare? How would you handle that? Would that increase the number of independent doctors you have there? Would doctors feel more autonomy being out of that system? How would that affect the medical industry in your state?
Well, I mean, let's look at it. Texas independence means political and economic independence. I mean, that's what this is. We become a self-governing nation. So the laws that apply in the United States are not necessarily the laws that are here. Texans have shown time and time again their distaste for the Obamacare system. Upon independence, Obamacare goes away. How the medical system shakes down after that, I believe is going to be an interesting fight. But I can tell you that the indications have been from the people of Texas that they want more medical freedom. It goes beyond Obamacare. I mean, when we look at independence and what people here in Texas are latching onto and why this excites them is they look at the federal government and they go, you know, I'm tired of living under 180,000 pages of federal laws, rules, and regulations. You know, 5,000 laws have criminal penalties. I mean, that's just where they're at. You know, they're tired of being administered and babied by 440 separate agencies and 2 million federal bureaucrats, 90,000 of which earn more than the governor of our state. So, you know, it doesn't just fall down into Obamacare and the issues of medical freedom. It gets down to the issues of freedom all the way around across every issue. 180,000 pages of federal laws, rules, and regulations. You know, and the beautiful part about that, Deanna, is this. Is that people, no matter what state they're in, they can make the same argument on that same issue, that they are governed by a federal bureaucracy that they did not elect, forcing policies on them that they don't want. And I can tell you from a Texan's viewpoint that the one thing that Texans want more than anything else is to have the right of self-government, to be able to have our decisions made here in Texas where they cannot be overridden by some unelected bureaucrat sitting in some office in Washington, D.C. with a stroke of a pen.
Wow. Well, if you're successful, when you're successful, there are going to be other states that are going to attempt to emulate your actions.
Well, they're already doing it. You know, the fact is California has recently gotten an organization that's serious about it. Vermont has had an active organization for a long time. But and look, there's not a week that goes by that we don't hear from someone in another state saying, look, I don't want to move to Texas. I want to do what you guys are doing in my state. I want my state to be self-governing. And so, you know, we help out all we can. But the fact of the matter is that this is further proof that this idea of this one-size-fits-all, you know, political and economic union called the United States is on its last legs. It's been a prediction for a long time. Article 1, Section 1 of the Texas Constitution declares it so when it says that the perpetuity of the union depends on the right of local self-government unimpaired to all the states. And the federal government, at the moment they began to impair the right of local self-government for any state, they doomed the union to dissolution on their own. And that's the unfortunate part about it, is they did this to themselves.
Right. Now, of course, we know what happened when several southern states did attempt secession. There was, the invasion of the South by the North.
Right.
Okay, what about the immigration situation? I mean, Vermont certainly doesn't have an immigration problem such as the one that you have. I mean, you're right there on the border. And when I was in Texas, you do have a lot of Spanish people, probably a lot of illegal immigrants. How would you handle that?
Well, let's look at how Texas has wanted to handle it. First and foremost,
Okay, let's hold that over. We'll pick it up on the other side. Be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Hi, my name is Chris. Since the 1970s, I have been actively making products available that support good health. What makes my juices flow is helping mankind get healthy. Today, I'm going to tell you about a product that will help your juices to flow. I am excited to recommend Dr. Miller's Holy Tea to you. Even if we are eating a clean diet, these impurities are entering our bodies. Holy Tea moves these poisons that are creating havoc with our health out of our bowels. It works on the whole digestive system. The 5 tasty herbs are combined to provide an amazing detoxifying and healing tea that will rid your body of the pollutants and soothe your digestive tract, and in some cases, help you lose weight. It is critical for our health to move all of the environmental toxins from our bodies. The Holy Tea can do that. As a hydrocolon therapist, remember, with every BM, you're supporting RBN. www.holytea.org, 800-326-2001.
Imagine a pill that can improve your focus, your memory, your sleep, a catalyst to improve your brain chemistry. Dr. Bill's Cognition Plus is truly the smarter in an hour pill. A combination of amino acids, trace minerals, and B vitamins, Cognition Plus is made with specialized herbal extracts that will enhance and support brain function. Our customers say,
I feel more focused.
My memory's getting better.
I can work longer with more useful hours.
Power up your neurotransmitters that have been depleted, like dopamine and norepinephrine. Stimulate the release of others, like serotonin and oxytocin. Improve circulation and energy production. Protect your mind and your loved ones today. Order Dr. Bill Deagle's Cognition Plus at 888-212-8871 or go online to NutriMedical.com. That's 888-212-8871 or NutriMedical.com.
Hi, this is Dr. Bill Deagle of the NutriMedical Report. Broadcast from 12 to 3, Monday to Friday, Central Standard Time. We cover medical issues, geopolitical, spiritual, and others, and you're welcome to call in.
Extendivite is more than just a heart tonic. Most basic diseases are caused by yeast in the gut and metals in the liver, and we all have a bit of both. The garlic in Extendivite has a yeast-killing effect in the gut while also helping the sulfur enzyme in the liver get rid of the metals. Extendivite just may improve your overall health. Products like Extendivite are the only way we are going to get our society healthy. And if you're waiting for the government and pharmaceutical care to solve your health problems, you're going to have a long, disappointing wait, I think. Extendivite is a complete formula for extended life in the new millennium. 80 can be the new 60. Extendivite is available in capsule or liquid form for just $69.95 for a two-month supply. To get started, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
This is not legal advice. This is a public service announcement from TakeFromCaesar.us. Only one statute explains how to tax your paycheck, Tax Code Section 83. In decisions from 1979 to 2011, the courts say Section 83 governs the taxation of all compensation for personal services, but the IRS lies on the stand, claiming to be unfamiliar with Section 83. Only one person can explain what Section 83 means, David Merlin. Visit TakeFromCaesar.us for more information.
Roberts & Roberts Brokerage believes that everyone should have some of their assets in investment-grade precious metals. Roberts & Roberts has been a trusted name in precious metals for nearly 40 years. Experienced investors will appreciate our personal service and low prices. If you're new to precious metals, we can help you find the products right for you. Give us a call today at 800-874-9760 or visit us online at rrbi.co. Roberts & Roberts Brokerage, when you're serious about precious metals.
Deanna, and our guest this last hour is Daniel Miller of the Texas Nationalist Movement. The website is thetnm.org. Tell us what you do about immigration.
Well, Texas has always, I think, had an interesting relationship in its border with Mexico. But let's be honest, over the last several decades, that relationship has deteriorated as federal immigration and border policy have just gotten to be untenable.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, one of the things to bear in mind here in Texas, I mean, if you want to talk about an immigration problem, illegal immigration and the Fed's failure to address the illegal immigration issue cost Texans about $12 billion a year.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, that we basically have to cough up out of our own pockets. You know, remember, we're overpaying about $100 to $150 billion to the federal government every year that we never see again. Plus, the economic cost is about $12 billion, and that's net. That's not gross. So, you know, it's a significant problem here. Consistently, when Texans are polled on the issue, immigration and the border are their number one concern.
Sure.
So, the fact is that until Texas gets its independence, we're not going to have anything that is a sane or sensible border and immigration policy. And so, you know, what Texans have often said is that we don't have a problem with immigration. I mean, that's just part of the way that it works. We, you know, from a conceptual standpoint, I mean, there's a practical problem with it, but there's not one from a conceptual issue. The challenge that we have consistently had is the mismanagement of both the border and illegal and the immigration issue by the federal government. It takes way too long for legal immigrants to get here. The border is so porous and so insecure that it is just much easier for people to sneak across and ride it out until the federal government is strong-armed by special interests into essential amnesty is what they do. So, you know, the fact that it's an all-carrot, no-stick incentivizing of illegal immigration is a problem. So Texans, by and large, have felt for the longest time that if those issues were left up to us in an independent Texas, that we could address it better. Because frankly, no one believes that anyone could do a worse job than what the federal government's doing right now.
Exactly. Okay. I just got a Skype question.
Okay.
And the question is, please ask your guest about the unique quality of the Texas Constitution that purportedly had an opt-out clause as a condition of Texas joining the federal union. Is that true or false?
That is a myth. But I say that because it is not explicit. So let me back up and see if I can cover this. Prior to Texas entering the union, when New York, and there were actually three states, but New York is the most prominent, when they ratified the Constitution out of the 13, those three had what were essentially explicit escape clauses that said that at any time they could, you know, regain their sovereign rights. Okay, so you go back to the Declaration of Independence, where they were 13 independent states. On par individually with Great Britain, so you had what were essentially 13 independent nation states. They go do the Constitution. Three of the states, New York being the most prominent among them, believe that they needed an escape clause because they had some apprehension about the Constitution, so they embodied it in there. The acceptance of those as part of their state constitutions and as part of the ratification process thereby extended this understood right to everyone, to every state that ratified the Constitution and any state that came after. So this idea that states sort of were entering into this Hotel California scenario where they could check out but they could never leave is just absolutely hogwash. So when Texas came in, it came in a very strange way. As an independent nation, there was a treaty that was hammered out by both the Republic of Texas and the United States Senate. It was passed by the Republic of Texas Senate, but it was shot down by the United States Senate. So there is a treaty, but it was never ratified by both parties. So because they couldn't get the support to grant Texas statehood via the treaty mechanism, they did it by joint resolution of Congress. So with that, inside the joint resolution of annexation, they agreed to two of the three clauses. None of those were specifically or explicitly about leaving the union. And the reason why is extremely simple. And you can go back and look at the writings of the people at the time, you know, things, you know, writings and legal opinions that were contemporaneous to that time. And it was understood that it was a right that was extended to all of the states, regardless of whether they were an independent nation or not. So there was no need to expressly put it inside of the documents that brought Texas into the union. So that's when you get to, you know, something that I've actually quoted on here already during this interview, which is Article 1, Section 1 and Article 1, Section 2 of the current Texas Constitution. Now, the Constitution that we have now is not the Constitution that we had when we became a state. It was actually the Constitution we have now was one that was passed after the Civil War and after Reconstruction. Mm-hmm. And so we have in there Article 1, Section 1, which says that Texas is a free and independent state subject only to the United States Constitution, and the maintenance of our institutions and the perpetuity of the Union depend on the right of local self-government unimpaired to all the states. And then Article 1, Section 2 says that all political power is inherent in the people, and all free governments are founded on their authority and instituted for their benefit, and the people have at all times the inalienable right to alter, reform, or abolish their form of government in such manner as they may think expedient. So there's, you know, there is the mechanism. If anyone wants to, you know, kind of look at it and say, well, where has this been codified? Where has this been written down? Well, you know, we've got 200 years of jurisprudence that prove it. It sits inside of our Constitution. And even more than that, you've got some post-Civil War, some 20th century Supreme Court precedents plus foreign policy and law that upholds the right of self-determination and the right of any state to assert its right of self-government.
Sure. Now, would the new country of Texas have some sort of a mechanism where the illegal immigrants could become legal and then pay taxes to their new country?
Well, you know, I'm sure that we're going to figure out a way to deal with it. You know, the fact of the matter is that people here in Texas, especially on the government side of things, and we've had many conversations with folks in state government about this issue, is that there's not a lot of will inside the legislature to do anything about it, because anytime the legislature has a tendency to act on the issues of immigration and the border, they get smacked down by the federal government.
Right.
Lawsuit, you know, whatever it may be, the threat of withholding federal funds, whatever that may be. So I can tell you that there has been some thought, but there has not been a lot expended on it. But that's one of those post-independence issues,
sure.
Right? I mean, that's something that is going to have to be addressed. And how that's going to be addressed is going to be in a way that is probably unique to Texas, but works for us, because that's how we operate.
Sure. Now, will you have a separate currency from the currency that the U.S. uses?
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It's a political and economic union, and when we get our independence, we'll be leaving that political and economic union. The option to utilize the United States currency is completely ours. But I will say that, you know, U.S. federal monetary policy, which weakens the dollar and mm-hmm. makes it a fiat currency with no value, those things are not very popular here. And you can look at the gold depository bill that was passed in the Texas legislature the last session, one that we were strong on and have championed since 2010. But when it was passed, one of the provisions inside the Texas Gold Depository Bill that everyone overlooked, right? The big headline was Texas is getting its own Fort Knox. But the real headline, the one that everyone missed, was that the provisions are inside the legislation to establish a gold and silver backed currency. It's inside the law and everyone missed it. So,
sure.
You know, the fact of the matter is that Texas at some point post independence will have its own currency. It's not a requirement for us to have a vote, to win a vote, or to be an independent, to essentially get our independence, but to maintain our independence moving forward. It's an absolute necessity.
Sure. And based on your resources, right? Rather than on gold.
Right. I mean, the fact of the matter is that I've seen several currency proposals, and there are folks out there that are they have a lot deeper understanding and knowledge about that particular aspect of this. But I will tell you, I've seen proposals on a currency of an independent Texas, and some are precious metal backed. Okay, so not exclusively gold, not exclusively gold and silver, but precious metal backed. I've seen one proposal that discusses essentially a currency that is pegged to the value of a whole basket of industries and resources here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've seen a lot of different proposals. So
sure.
I can tell you that there are folks out there that are diligently working on that, and I'll be anxious, just like anyone else, to see what it looks like on the other end.
What about Fort Hood and other federally owned buildings? How would those be handled?
Okay, so when you break down federal bases and installations, depending on the specific installation, a military base or a federal building, they were either picked up by eminent domain, which significant portions of Fort Hood were eminent domained, and then turned over to them for a military base. or they are leased properties. Okay, so you have to sort of take them separately. Now, the fact of the matter is that Texas already has a lot of the administrative infrastructure that we would need to basically build on to fulfill all the functions of what a national government would need. So probably not going to need all of those facilities that they have, but I can imagine the state of Texas would basically take some of those. They would expire the leases out, cut the federal government loose, and then they would take over those particular buildings or turn them over to local administration. Things like military bases really get into sort of the national defense aspect of this. And one thing to understand is that Texas right now has its own military. A lot of people don't understand that, but we have. It used to be called the Texas Military Forces, was sort of the collective name. They recently changed it to the Texas Military Department. But it's made up of the Texas State Guard, the Texas Army National Guard, and the Texas Air National Guard. Those last two are under a bifurcated command, but all three are under direct command of the governor. So as the commander in chief of those. So that being said, we have we already have what would be sort of a proto-military, an infrastructure to build off of. But the question then becomes, how would an independent Texas defend itself, which sort of lends itself to these military bases and facilities and things of that nature?
Sure.
And the fact of the matter is that if you were to take what is, just take what the United States spends, okay? The United States spends an inordinately large percentage of its GDP for military and defense spending, massive GDP. But if you were to take that same percentage, okay, and apply that to a GDP like Texas, which we have the ninth largest economy in the world, what you would wind up with is about the fifth largest or fifth most well-funded military in the world. If you were to take it down even to base NATO percentages, which is there's a 2% GDP that NATO set as sort of a minimum percentage for military and defense spending for NATO countries, even at 2%, we still rank seventh or eighth in terms of military spending globally. So the fact is that an independent nation of Texas suddenly has this money that we've been sending off to Washington, D.C. to be frittered away by bureaucrats that then we can apply to functions of a national government, to taking care of immigration and border, to, having our own national defense that actually defends our nation, right here at home where we most need it. We have the ability to do things according to our priorities and not to the priorities of these unelected bureaucrats in Washington.
You mean you wouldn't bomb Syria or anything?
I don't know. Last time I checked, Texas and Syria weren't at war. So
good for you. Good for you. Okay, what about these crazy trade agreements? I mean, TTIP and, there's been a lot of trade. And NAFTA, the notorious NAFTA, which was, that happened in your state. I mean, they decided on that agreement in your state.
Well,
and the North American Union. What about that?
You have a lot, Deanna, you have a lot of whatabouts.
I know.
You have a lot of whatabouts. But I get it. Look, these are all questions that people ask all the time. These are discussions that I think are important for us to have. But to get down to it, and we have just for the listeners out there, we have a fairly detailed frequently asked questions on our website at thetnm.org, and I just invite anyone to go check them out. And if there's something on there that we don't cover, drop a line. I mean, we have people that answer questions like this all the time. So to your question, look, there's absolutely no doubt that the federal government looks at trade from a globalist perspective. And the fact is that when these trade agreements are hammered out, especially where the United States is concerned, NAFTA is extremely egregious, because let's be honest, NAFTA does some good things here in Texas, but it's disastrous in a lot of other areas. And so take some of the northern manufacturing states, some of the Rust Belt states, and see that NAFTA was an opportunity for these corporations to go down and move their businesses into Mexico where they could get cheap labor and then be able to push their goods back across the border, do what was essentially tax-free or tariff-free. So this is the challenge that we have, and I think, again, something that flows toward our argument that the United States sort of fails everybody by going after the lowest common denominator. While NAFTA was good for Texas in some aspects and horrible in others, it was good for other states in some ways that are completely opposite to Texas. And, you know, so you sort of spread the misery around if you want to look at it. So Texas will have its own trade agreements. I mean, let's be honest. When Texas leaves the Union, Texas is going to have to form its own trade arrangements with places like Mexico and Canada. And frankly, people all over the world want to trade with us. And the fact that they could do it without having to deal with sort of the federal nightmare in relation where it comes down to trade, I think is going to be huge. Now, I'll tell it to you like this, because I think this was, it's not necessarily empirical, but I think it's a great story, and I think it informs as to where the mindset of the folks in business and finance are. I was doing a speaking engagement in Houston recently. And when it was over, a gentleman came up to me, and he was introduced himself, and he was essentially an investment banker in the Houston area. And he said, you know, when people figure out that an independent Texas will be like a Switzerland or a Monaco, they'll knock down the doors to vote yes for Texas to leave.
Wow. Okay, Daniel, we do have a break. We'll be right back.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
We are the American Freedom Party. This is the most urgent time in the history of Western civilization. In the year 1900, white people of European descent comprised 35% of the world population. Today it is less than 9% and falling fast. Europe is being overrun with Middle Eastern immigrants, and America's founding stock is rapidly being replaced with third world peoples from around the globe. For the last 50 years, every influential institution in this nation, our schools and universities, our media, our churches and our employers, have promoted policies and principles that teach whites to be ashamed of their great heritage and birthright. We, who in the 1950s, the 1960s, and 1970s were the world's dominant force, are now so...
All righty, we are back. This is Deanna, and our guest this last hour is Daniel Miller of the Texas Nationalist Movement, and that website is the TNM.org. What about things like, chemtrails and that kind of thing? Are you aware of chemtrails, and how would you handle those?
I am. I don't know that we've really considered that. I'm sorry if I sound chuckly, but I knew as soon as we came back from the break, you were going to say, "What about?"
Oh,
I just knew it. That's fantastic.
I'm so predictable, aren't I?
That's the thing. I mean, you can, the one thing I can tell you is this, is that we don't have to have every answer for every question to know that on the other side of independence, it's something that we'll work on. You know, that you have to remember there are 200 other nations around the world that somehow seem to figure this stuff out.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. So, you're right. You know,
and that's the thing about it. You know, the opposition, the critics love to come in and require us to have every T crossed and every I dotted when they don't hold that same burden on the federal government, because the federal government can't figure this stuff out, you know, and you know, the way that they have done it is really anathema to everyone. But what we see is that these large clusters of groupings of states and countries, these unions, these political and economic unions, are sort of a thing of the past. I think the Brexit vote and the movements to get Greece out and Denmark out and France out of the European Union, and then the growth of our movement and movements like ours all over North America, whether it be the Quebecers or whether it be Alberta in Canada or California or Vermont, or even the movement for the independence of the northern Mexican states. I mean, a lot of people don't know that there's actually an organization down there pursuing the northern states of Mexico to leave Mexico because of their grievances with Mexico City. And frankly, they're tired of Central American illegal immigrants tromping through their homes and ranches and lives to get to the United States.
So, well, exactly. Yes.
You know, so this is the trend. And I'm pretty sure that with all of the brain power that we've got, not just here in Texas, but in a lot of the other states that are looking at independence, I'm pretty sure we're all going to be able to figure these things out.
Well, Daniel, you're really good. I think you better stay out of Dealey Plaza, don't you?
You know, we drove by Dealey Plaza when we were up there. You know, we made a run at the Republican State Convention and did a tremendous job up there. But that's another story. But Deanna, I got to say this. I got an email from a listener during one of the breaks. And so I have to say to Kent, I got your email, and I want you to know Texas loves you too.
Oh, that's Kent from West Virginia. He's a delightful person, as you are. And I so hope that Texas does this, and if any state could, it would be Texas. And with your leadership, I think that they can do it.
Deanna, I really appreciate the vote of confidence. And look, I encourage people in other states, if you want to understand what we're doing, check us out. If you have questions, give us a call.
Great. Thanks so much for appearing on the program, for being on the program.
Thank you, Deanna. You have a great weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.
Someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, "I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you." Get the dependability of Extendivite.
Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
If the lonely night